Okay.
But Parsha Pinchas, part of what Parsha Pinchas is all about is the succession. Moshe is told you're going to die, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael, you need to transfer power to Yeshua. Source one, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Kach lechat Yeshua ben Nun isha sheruach bo. Go take Yeshua, one who has the spirit. Samachta gidcha and you give him smicha. Rest your hand upon him. Elazar Kohen, and you will have him stand in front of Elazar, who is the Kohen Gadol. Aaron had passed away last week's parsha. Vusehekoladad in front of all the people. Vitzivita oto lenehem, and you will command him Yeshua before them. Love. And you will give some of your glory to him, Laman Yishmu called that Israel, so that everyone should listen. You're transferring your hod to Yeshua. Lifnei Elazar Kohen Yamod, and he in the future will stand before Elazar, B'sha'alo B'shpat Ha'urim lifnei Hashem, and he will ask Elazar the Kohen the judgment of the Urim. Al
Urim
pi
v'tumim.
ah.
Where's the
So we're assuming that is the Urim v'Tumim. This is what we're going to talk about. This is a little shorthand. Al pi v'Yetzu, according to this between Yeshua, Yeshua will command them. Al pi v'Yetzu, Al pi v'Yavo, Hu v'Kol Bnei Yisrael, Oto v'Kol Eda, that he and Yeshua and all the people will work together. They will go out and come back and battle with Yeshua, and he will lead them. So what are the Urim? Okay, the Urim and Bitumim, we obviously have heard of it. We're going to look at the Psukim about the Urim and Bitumim. Right? What do they look like? What are they? And they are part of the Choshen. I have a picture here. Here's your Kohen Gadol, a long white beard. This is the ephod, the apron. In my opinion, it should be tied in the back, not in the front, but everyone has it in the front. And the Choshen is the breastplate with the jewels on it, attached to the ephod. You've seen this picture or similar pictures. Right? Vasita choshen mishpat, and you will make this choshen, this breastplate of judgment, in the same word, bashalo b'mishpat. Maseh choshev, material k'maseh ephod, ha'senet, just like the ephod of the apron itself. Zahav techelot togarman, tovat sheni v'shesh, all these wools mixed together with gold, ha'esotot. Ravui yakaful, it will be square and doubled. Zeret arkov, zeret rachbo. A span long and a span wide, but folded over, so there's a place to put stuff in the inside. It's a pocket. Umleta bo mluat even, arba turim even. You'll have four rows of engraved stones of odempita bareket, nofek sapir bihalom, leshem shvav achlama, and tarshish shomav yefesh. Different
What
gems.
is Zera? Zera is
Zeret,
what? A measurement?
a span, the distance
Oh.
from your outstretched pinky to thumb.
Oh.
Half an amma, approximately.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. So you can see, imagine that as a breastplate, just one hand span. Okay. Vavanim tiyan al shmo bnei Yisrael, shtei mesrei al shmotam, and these stones shall correspond to the tribes of Israel, 12 of them. Shmo, and they'll be engraved onto the stones themselves. Shavet for all 12. Natata el hachoshen mishpat, and you will put inside this choshen et ha'urim v'tumim. You'll put inside. Remember, it's a double piece of cloth. You can put something in there. You put into them the Urim Tumim by your lev aron de Hashem. And they will be on Aaron's heart as
Wait,
he
the
claims the Torah.
choshen wasn't a double piece of
Yeah,
cloth.
that's the choshen. This,
Oh,
you see
it
here, that's
wasn't
a
a
choshen.
metal thing?
No, it was cloth, right? It's what says it was maseh choshev, it is woven, kemaseh ephod, just like the ephod, same cloth, the multicolored
Oh.
cloth.
But the stones were on the cloth.
Right.
Okay.
They had settings that they stuck the stones into.
So breastplate is not a great word for it, but okay.
I'm happy to have you have a different word for a piece of cloth that's worn on your front.
I don't know what that would be. But anyway, a
Yes, okay.
breastplate sounds like metal plate, no?
But it is not.
Okay.
This is explicitly.
Well,
We'll just
yeah,
call it
this
the
is
focus.
not right, but the English word. Okay.
Okay. So
Yeah.
in inside you'll put the Urim and Tumim, Nasa Aaron Mishpat Bnei Israel, and that's how Aaron will bear the Mishpat, the judgment of Bnei Israel, Al Libo, Nesham Tumim, on his heart before God always. Okay? And when the actually comes time to dress Aaron, that's what he does. This is Moshe by Tinalavet the Ketonet, and Moshe puts the cloak, the tunic on him, by Yachgor Tobavnet, and belts him with the belt. Velbeis and puts the coat. The cloak on top of that, that's the blue thing here, on top of the tunic. He puts the ephod on the me'il, on the cloak. And he ties the belt of the ephod. And now with an ephod, a tie piece of cloth around his waist. And he places the choshen on his front. And he puts the urim in the choshen.
Near the lathe.
Yeah, in front of his leg, right. So what is the Urim v'Tumim? And what's weird is that it doesn't say. We have all the details about every other one of the vestments, how long, how it's made of. We have nothing. It just you'll put Ha'urim v'Tumim in there. And in fact, when it talks in Parshat Vayakhel, when it talks about how they were made, like all the Chachamim took this cloth and that, and they made this and this and this, there's no mention of Urim v'Tumim. Right? They simply are. And in Chazal, Gemara, they don't talk about what they are. About them, but what are they? So the Rishonim all wonder. Lots of speculation. This is Rashi. Et Urim v'Tumim, right? What are you putting inside there? Hu ketav shem mefurash. It is a piece of cloth or paper or something with the name of God written. Zohar says various
Question.
names of God. So you know, that was put in the folds of the choshen. Urim v'tumim, light and perfection, and that's what solidify and lighten his words. And in the second Beit Hamikdash, they did not have the Urim v'tumim, that you had the choshen, Kohen Gadol, because you couldn't have the Kohen Gadol. Who was missing his clothing? They can make that. But Oto Hashem lo yabtocha didn't have that. You know, the
What
shame.
is matmeim? Me'ir
Make
debarash.
it tam. Make it perfect.
Oh,
That's
okay, from tumim.
yeah. That's what he says. We'll look at that a little more. Hashem Oto
Okay.
HaKetav Hayu Kari Mishpat, and that's why the Choshen called Choshen Mishpat. That's because it had this in there, and somehow that let the Kohen Gadol speak with mishpat, with righteous, with justice, with judgment. As it said, v'sha'al lo mishpat to Urim, that was what we just read. That's what Yeshua is going to ask Elazar Kohen as the Kohen Gadol, and Elazar is going to use the Urim v'Tumim. Term is used here. Right. V'sha'al lo mishpat to Urim. Yeshua is going to ask Elazar, what are the Urim say? And that's what means the Mishpat Bnei Israel, the Varshehim Nishpatim, the Nuchachim Al Yado, things that they have judgment, things that they are being rebuked, Imasot Davar Al Oso. Should they do something, should they not do something? That's what the Urim V'Tumim are. And the Ramban similarly says that, you know, how do we know that this is some kind of holy name of God thing? All right, yeah, the proof is Kilo Nisku Urim V'Tumim Klal B'Maaseh. Because it's not mentioned by some as something that's made by all the craftsmen. We have two parshas that go into great detail, nothing about Urim made. It's not mentioned when Moshe commands the workmen to do it, and not mentioned when they're making it. It was not something that was crafted. Right? The workmen, Bnei Israel, didn't do anything for these Urim v'Tumim. And it wasn't donated by anyone. But this is a Sod, a Kabbalistic something that was given to Moshe. Hashem said, here, Urim v'Tumim, don't write down in the Torah what we're doing here, but that's what goes in there. But who katvam, he wrote it down in his holiness, or it was miraculously made. We don't know what it was. stam uvidiyidiya, and that's why they're simply mentioned straight and with the hey hayidiyah, right? Ha'urim v'tumim. Whatever they are, Moshe knew what that was. Moshe lakach ketavu urim v'tumim. So Moshe took this, well, amulet scroll that was called the Urim v'tumim, v'nicham sham b'choshen ha'mishpat, and he put them into the Chosh Mishpat, achareish yilbishet Aaron, after he got Aaron dressed, that's what it says, after we put on the ephod b'choshen. So he puts in there. So that's the a Kabbalistic name of God sitting in there, powering the Choshen HaMishpat. Some of the Goanim thought the Urim and Thummim referred to the actual stones of the Choshen. You know, that these things were the Urim and Thummim somehow, but it doesn't fit with the idea that Moshe had to put them in. Vayitein el haChoshen et haUrim v'Tumim. He put it inside there. That doesn't fit. And Ibn Ezra, interestingly, thought it was an astrolabe, which is a gadget for looking at the stars, figuring out where the stars belong. Some kind of complicated gadget, somehow connected to astrology. I don't know. A lot of professors nowadays think it was simply a lots. You know, somebody said he had one that said yes and one that said no, and you would have to reach in there to make your decision, whichever one came out. Kind of like a magic eight ball. Remember the magic eight ball?
Every who?
Magic eight ball.
What?
You never ever heard of magic eight ball? I was saying
Magic
magic
April?
eight ball. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. This is completely unrelated.
The month of April?
No, magic eight ball. Magic
Oh, a magic
eight
eight
ball.
ball. I did hear that.
Okay. The magic eight ball.
I think from you once.
I don't know. There you go. It was a little eight ball, and you would shake it, and it would say,
Oh,
and a
yeah.
little name would word would come up, and you would have the answer. That's basically what the Urim was.
Right.
Okay, anyway, but again, it's like the Ramban. It was something mystically holy. It was placed in the pocket of Choshen, and allows the Choshen to have some sort of mishpat, some way to decide questions. Right? That's what Yeshua is going to ask, and ask the mishpat. And so the Gemara says, what is it? What does that mean? Lamne kran shaman urim v'tumim. Why was it called the urim v'tumim? Urim shemari me'irin et divrehem. It will enlighten their words of the Kohen. Tumim shemishalmim, right? That's Tam. It perfected, it set their words, divrehem. Or and
Tom.
Tam. Or and Tam. So we know
Well,
Yale
or in
Yale.
truth.
Right, so that's what, so Yale University on their coat of arms says Urim v'Tumim, and they translate
Oh, they
it into
translate
Latin
it.
as Lux
Oh,
et Veritas,
good.
light and
Not
truth.
a great translation, but it's
I'm
okay.
fine with that, right? Enlightenment and truth.
Okay.
I'm going to take that as the meaning of Urim v'Tumim.
Okay. It's
And
funny
that's
that
what.
it's that they're in the plural, the
Right.
words. It's funny.
Yeah, so and why I don't know, because I don't know what it is. Because you never do anything with the Urim Tumim themselves, right? It's part of the Choshen, and there's a ritual for
Didn't
using the
something
Choshen,
light up? Didn't things
right?
light up?
Yeah, that's so this way the Rambam describes it,
Okay.
which is why the Goyim said that it was the stones that were the Urim Tumim, because they were the ones that actually lit, right? That's the aura there. Okay, Ketzad Shoalin. How would you ask? Okay, here we got a photograph from the Temple Institute. There's your Kohen Gadol, and he's got his lighting up Koshen, and there's the king behind him. He's right in front of the Aron. So it's Ketzad Shoalim. How would one ask? Omid HaKohan, a Kohen, the Kohen standing. Panav Lifnei Aron, and he's facing the Aron. Vashoel Me'acharav, and the one who's doing the asking is behind the Kohen. L'acharei HaKohen, behind. That coin, Omer Shoel, and the asker asks this question, Ale or Lo Ale? I get to decide, do I go here or not? What do I do? The inner Shoel b'kol, doesn't do it out loud. Look, Omer Harer b'libo, and doesn't just think the words himself, Ela b'kol namuch, to be in a low voice, Kemoshe mitbalel beino v'natzmo, like he's davening. Gemara compares it to Chana's tefillah. You can hear himself. It's not loud. It's a tefillah kind of asking. Umiyad ruach hakodesh lovesh the kohen, and immediately the kohen gadol is enveloped with ruach hakodesh, the little spirit of nevuah. Umabit b'choshen, you can look at the choshen. Bro ebo mar eh hanevuah ale lo tale, and he sees with this the spirit of nevuah looking at the choshen whether that you should go or not go. Otiot shebol tot min hachoshen, with the letters that would become highlighted in the choshen. You know, these carved names, you could see the answer. Keneged panav, as he's looking for them. Okay, mishivav omer lo, and then the Kohen would answer and say, Allah or lo tala, yes or no, whatever the question
So the
was.
letters of yes or no would light up.
Right.
Kano. So what were written on the names of the
The
tribes were
names
the
of the
letters.
tribes, and said then you don't have all the letters. So it says they also had Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov written down on there.
Where?
I don't know. There are different opinions about how they were arranged.
Let's see a picture of it with the letters.
Let's see what. Here we go. Here's one from. Oh, this is from a Jesus one. That's the I told I want that one. But that's one opinion, right? The Avraham. So they all go. They had one, two, three. There were six letters per, or seven letters. The word, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shivtei
Oh my
Ka.
God. Wow.
You know, I
Where
mean,
did they get
I
those
don't
from?
know. I don't.
Wow.
I honestly don't know how they
But
chose.
they were on stones. The
It was
letters were
carved,
on
right? It was right. It
stones.
was carved into there. I don't want that one. Let's see. It has a picture. Here. That's what the Chabad says. Yes, we got it. The Aleph, Shimon Aleph, Shivtei Yisrael. That's what Chabad says. I don't know. I'm not going to worry
Okay.
about that. I have no idea
Okay.
how you do it, but that's the idea. Basically, the idea that the king's behind him with this sense of tefillah, and then there's Ruach HaKodesh that envelops him, and the Kohen sees it. This wasn't something that anybody could see shining in the Choshen.
Oh.
Right? That's
Oh.
I mean, that wasn't. It was sort of a little bit of nevuah that was guaranteed. Or if it worked, then it worked. Okay, and it's kind of divination. I want to predict the future, and specifically, it was aimed at kings for matters of state. Okay, the Mishnah says explicitly, Kohen Gadol Meshamesh B'Shemot Kelim. Kohen Gadol would be wearing his eight garments. And that's how they would ask the Urim and Tumim. And nobody could ask except Ella Lamelech Beit Din Umishat Tzibur Tzarich. King could ask, Beit Din could ask, or something that had
Well,
matters of social activity.
ale sounds like war. Should we go
War,
to
yeah,
war
or not?
or not?
Right. That's a matter of state, right? Do we attack or not? And that's
And
the
I think I just came. I'm doing Shmuel here with
yeah.
the Rav, and I think we just had an instance where Shmuel consults it.
Shmuel
Or
consulted.
Shaul with
Shaul
Shaul.
does, right? We have a couple. We'll get a couple examples in Tanakh of what
Okay.
sounds like that. Because it's interesting. It's never quite explicit. I mean, the Gemara says explicit, right? That specifically for war. I gotta plan my war. When Amar David Lahem, when David tells his generals, Lachu Pishtu Yerchem B'Gedud, go literally stretch your hands in the army camp, right? Go attack. Yad Yotzim Ba'Achitofel, immediately they would take advice from Achitofel, who was their military strategist, Vinim Lachim B'Sanhedrin, and they would get a declaration of war from the Sanhedrin, ask permission. B'Sho'alim B'Urim B'Tumim. They ask Urim B'Tumim, what do we do, right? Will this work? It's for predicting the future. And again, it's not for halachic questions, because that's lo b'shamayim. We don't ask God for am I allowed to at this
Oh,
point?
good
Right?
point.
You know, it's this is Gemara in Reuven, for instance. Wait, this is in Shmuel, and okay, this is the end of Shmuel Aleph. Vayishal David b'Hashem le'mor ha'elech v'keti b'plishtim. Right? Shmuel is asking, should I go attack the Plishtim? The David here is acting, asking, should I go attack the Plishtim? My
But it
kavaya.
wait, so they say he was asking the Urim the Tumim.
Right, we'll talk about that. That Vayish al Bashem, everyone assumes that's Urim v'Tumim. Yeah, it doesn't
Oh,
say that explicitly.
no.
We'll look at that, but hold that question, okay? This is interesting. But the Gemara asked more, my kavaya, what was he asking? Isar. Asur, if he was asking whether it's permitted or forbidden, like, oh, look, am I allowed to attack, whatever the situation was, Hare Beit Dino Shel Shmuel Haramati Kayam. Like, he has a Beit Din. That's where he's supposed to ask those kind of questions from. And Rashi asks, and something, and questions of Isur and Heter, you don't ask the Urim Tumim that. Ella, you know, what is he asking? I Matzliach Hilo Matzliach, right? If I attack, will I be successful or not? And now the picture of from the Temple Institute, from Machane Mikdash, has the parochet open, the kohen standing there, king in there, but that doesn't fit. I mean, you're not supposed to do that. Only the kohen going to the Kodesh Kodashim by himself in Yom Kippur. You can't just open it up. So I wouldn't take this literally. This is not actually a photograph. You know, and again, a lot of the examples of the Urim Bitumim are actually on the battlefield, nowhere near the Mikdash. So I assume that when it says the Kohen has panav lifnei Aharon, it's that idea of tefillah, that you're supposed to daven, supposed to pray, you know, Maran Bracha, right? If you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have a libot connected to Eretz Yisrael. You should be facing the Aharon whenever you're praying, when you're davening. That's what tefillah is. And that's what it means that he has his face, he was facing the Aron. It was a set of tefillah. Okay, that's a king. The king is, that's what Rambam says, is saying it as a form of tefillah. He's facing the Aron as a form of tefillah. And but this here, as opposed to usually we say our prayers and we hope Hashem's listening, hope Hashem gives an answer, but we never get a direct answer. Here you've got the Kohen Gadol sitting in front of him, and the Kohen Gadol gets divine inspiration as gives him an answer. That's what we're going And they only become relevant after Moshe's death. Because Moshe doesn't need them, right? Because Moshe just
Oh,
asked God. What?
Moshe doesn't need them.
Right. Moshe just asked God, right? That's what he says. That's this week's parasha. Moshe, right? Stand here and I'll go ask God, right? He doesn't need the whole ceremony. He is both, he is Melech, Kohen, Navi, all tied together. And so what it says is that it's commanding Yeshua, you know, you're taking over. You're not at my level. You will have to, you ask Eleazar to stand there with the Urim and Tumim, and you will have to Sha'al b'mishpat Urim. When we actually look for the Urim and Tumim in Tanakh, we don't find the mention. Okay, we don't see anything about Yeshua using them. The Gemara says that you know describes that's how they divided up the land, that they set the goralot for the various shvatim where they would be, but it doesn't say that in the text. First time we seem to see anything is by Shaul. This is where
Wait,
Gemara.
wait. So what is that text for Sha'alob and Mishpata Urim?
That's in our parsha. That's the Torah telling us that
Oh, what
Moses
should
said to
happen?
him,
Oh,
this is what
what will
happened.
happen?
Right. But
Oh,
when you
we
actually
don't
look
see
in the
it.
book, we actually look in Sefer Yeshua, we don't see any mention of that
Because
explicitly.
it's the king. We need a king for it.
Right. But surely Yeshua is acting as that king in that case. I mean, we see asking Hashem. Okay, so the first thing that sounds like Urim V'Tumim is Shaul, that we're up to in Shmuel and Yud Perek Yud-Aleph. The war against the Plishtim. And Shaul asks, yes, the Kohen Gadol, and another where he says, okay, go ask Hashem, and then he says, put it away. So that's That's a sin. He should have asked, but he says, no, I'm going to decide myself. But the other way to use the word is Vayomer Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Havei Tamim, Ish V'Sheul Yetsu. Is when he's trying to decide who violated the cherem and who ate when they're going to battle. And it says, Havei Tamim, bring the Tamim. And some people assume that means that Urim V'Tumim, we're going to decide what happened here.
Yeah.
Or simply may mean Tamim, meaning the answer should be clear and simple. It's most of the way to understand that. A little
What was
more,
the second one? Have
that
they?
it's a Havei Tamim means give me a clear answer. Without ex Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, he says, oh God, Havei Tamim, give me a clear answer. Yisrael, and whatever the answer was, however they
Yeah.
decided this, was it was Yonatan and Shaul and not the people. Not clear if that's talking about the Urim Tumim explicitly. David has one incident where he's on the run. Shaul's trying to kill him. Shaul has wiped out the city of Nov. Eviatar, who's the son of the Kohen Gadol, has survived. So he's now the Kohen Gadol, so his father of death. And David asks Eviatar to ask God, what do we do now? And he uses the ephod. Okay? And the ephod isn't part of this. So presumably what he means here is the whole ephod, choshen, urim, betumim thing. It all goes together. This is the story. When Eviatar brought Ahimelech when Eviatar runs away to David in Keilah, which is in the Negev, ephod yarab yado, he brings the ephod with him. The Shaul is white, has destroyed, basically destroyed the Mishkan, killed the Kohanim there, and Eviatar escapes with the big Dekona. Yada David, ki alav Shaul macharish hara, that David knew that Shaul is planning evil, literally whispering about evil. Eviatar Kohen, Hagisha Ephod. So he tells Eviatar, bring the Ephod.
The ephod, okay.
Right. Again, so the Ephod
Yeah.
itself is just this, but I'm assuming here it means all the whole assembly.
Yeah.
Because they're all attached together. Ephod attached to the Choshen, Urim Tumim inside there.
Wait,
So
what's
it means
the ephod?
the apron part.
Not the lower half thing?
This half thing, right? This part, the colored, the multicolored.
Yeah. Oh, so you're assuming it includes the Choshen.
Right. I'm saying because they're all attached. They're all tied together, right? These chains all tied it all
Okay.
together. It's all
Okay.
one piece.
I could do that. I could go for
Okay. Because otherwise, what's
that.
he doing with this ephod? It doesn't fit with anything else.
Right.
Okay. So he says. So he tells Abiatar, bring the ephod, and we're gonna do this ceremony, right? The Yom David, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Shemoah, again, it's a tefillah, oh God, Shemoah, Shemat Abdecha, your servant has heard, Ki Mevakesh Shaul Lavo HaKe'ilah, V'Shachet Le'ir Bavuri, that I'm hiding in Ke'ilah, and I've heard that Shaul is going to wipe out all Ke'ilah because I'm there. Ha'yizkireni Balei Ke'ilah B'yado. Will the people of Ke'ilah betray me to him? And will Shaul come and try to attack me as I've the rumors that I've heard? Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Hagedna L'Avedecha. And Hashem, God of Israel, please tell your servant. Shaul coming, and are the people of Keilah going to betray me? Vayomer Hashem, Yered. So only has to ask one question at a time. So he says, yep, Shaul's coming. Remember David, okay, so let's go back to the real question. Well, now, Hayaskiru Balei Ke'ilah Oti Ve'Anashei Biyad Shaul. Will the people of Ke'ilah betray me to Shaul, me and my people? Vayomer Hashem, Yaskireno, Yaskiro. Yep, they will betray you.
Oh.
Right, I mean, we know the story, right? He escapes. He runs away to Plishtim. He runs away to Moab. whole end of Shmuel Aleph. It's all tragic, but that's kind of the picture here. So here he's presumably he's bringing the ephod, but he's bringing this whole assembly. He's asking God, and then Abiatar answers.
Okay, so the word "liskor" is to betray, hayaskaru.
Right. Well, literally, to they will hayisgereini balekila biyado. Will they enclose me into his hand?
Oh.
Okay. So I know a better way to translate
Yeah,
that.
oh, that's good. And Ki'ilah is a place?
Is a city, right? It's Keilah is a
Okay.
city where David is.
Okay.
So you still there?
Yeah. Oh.
That's my wife. She may have fallen asleep. Okay. She's on the
Huh.
phone. Okay, so the Urim Thummim are more explicitly mentioned when they can't be used. Like the ephod, that's probably the closest we get if the actually being used is this ephod picture there. It's explicit. For instance, at the end of Shaul's life, the
Oh.
Plishtim are attacking him. I mean, we know he's going to die in battle at this the end. This is the end. And by Shaul Ba'Shem, Shaul asks of God, what's going to happen? Attack, right? All these questions that the king needs to know. How do I fight the Plishtim? V'lo ana Hashem. Hashem doesn't answer. Gam b'chalamot, not with a dream to show directly. Gam b'urim, doesn't get an answer from the Urim and Gam neviim, none of the neviim help him. And
Oh.
there's the Urim explicitly. Or even more explicitly is in Ezra. Second Beit HaMikdash, they've all come back. And
But they
Nehemiah,
don't have, I thought they
they
don't
don't.
have it.
They don't, right?
Oh.
That's what it says, right?
Oh.
And Nehemiah has a problem because there are all these guys who are coming out with the last name of Cohen. And he's got to figure out who's actually a Cohen and who's not, right? Now, who's there? Some people have documentation. This is my father and father's father going back to the original Beit Rishon. But for most of them, Amar ha Tarshashta, and the governor said, Lahem to them, that's Nehemiah says, Asher lo yachlu b'mikdash ha-kodesh, Asher lo yachlu mikodesh ha-kodeshim, that you cannot eat of the holy stuff, the truma and the kodeshim, ad amor kohen l'urim v'tumim, until we can get a Kohen who actually has Urim v'tumim, and we can ask, is he a real Kohen or not? Is he a Yibmuyuchas Kohen?
Oh.
I don't know. So that's explicit, right? That's what we would need. Right now, we can't do that. There is no room between me. And then what you're saying is that lots of times when you're asking Hashem, right, Vayish'al b'Hashem, Vayish'al b'Hashem, Vayish'al b'Hashem, and everyone assumes this refers to the Urim b'Tumim. Okay, because we have no other way of asking God. For instance, beginning of Shoftim, Vayah Harei Mot Yeshua, after Yeshua passed away, Vayish'alu ben Yisrael b'Hashem. Ben Yisrael asked God, like more than they asked, who will attack the Canaanite first? To fight with them. Okay, no. First battle you're going to fight is Yehuda to try to conquer his territory. Okay? So what is Vayomer Hashem? It doesn't mention a Navi. It's not through a Navi. This is presumably what? No, I Hi there. I got 10% battery. You sleeping, Sarah? Sorry, I
Why
lost the battery.
is Ezra in there? We're going nicely, Yeshua,
No, I added that because that's the one place where it uses the term Urim Batumim. In Tanakh.
Shmuel.
And now I'm going back and saying, giving examples of Sha'ol Ba'Shem that sounds like that, but doesn't use that actual term.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Okay.
Ezra's right, get it. Ezra and Shmuel and Sha'ol are the place where it uses the word Urim.
So this one from Shoftim, it is? That's we're assuming is the Urim v'Tumim.
Right. It's asking God of something, and that's the only process we know. Or
Okay.
in Shmuel Bet, another case is Vayechakein, Vayishel David Ba'Hashem, the same expression of asking Ba'Hashem, Do I go to one of the is Aleh to become, should I declare myself king? This is after Shaul dies. Should I go to one of the cities of Yehuda? And Vayomer Hashem, I love Aleh. Hashem said, yeah, you should go. Vayomer David Ana Aleh. And David asked, where should I go? Vayomer Hebron. Okay, you go to
Oh.
Hebron. That was David's first capital. And what's interesting about the examples of using this, any kind of Sheol Bashem, again, there are lots of examples of this. They're all in Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Shoftim. And that's it. The Mishnah in Sota says, Mishemetu Nevi'im, when the first Nevi'im died. Now, we use the term Nevi'im Rishonim in terms of, like, literally which volume of Navi comes first, rather than chronological. Here, presumably, it's chronological. Somehow, the first Nevi'im, when the first Nevi'im passed away, but Lu Urim V'Tumim. The Urim process stopped.
And who are the first Nevi'im here?
That's a good question. So Gemara asks here,
Oh.
Man Nevi'im
Oh,
Rishonim. Okay.
okay.
Yeah, that's an obvious question. Who are we talking about? And then it continues, Meshachara Beit HaMikdash, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, Batal HaShamir, then we lost the Shamir, which is the worm for cutting the stones, Batal HaNofet Tzufim, literally the sweetness of the honeycomb. Nobody learned Torah learn anymore. But Pasku Anshei Emunah, and there was no men of faith anymore. We lost a lot with the Chara Beit HaMikdash. So Gemara asks, Man Nevi'im Rishonim. What are these Nevi'im Rishonim? Amravahuna is that David Ushmuel Ushlomo. I got to David, time of Shmuel, time of Shlomo. After them, no more Urim V'Tumim.
Okay.
Okay, and then Metiv Rabba Bar Shmuel, and he asked a question from Dibra Yemen when it said, "Vahi LeDrosh Elokim Mei Zachariah." So this is the time of Uzziah, who's the son of Amatziah, so it's one of the kings of Yehuda, probably about 100 years after Shlomo. And they were Drosh Elokim. They would ask God, there's Zechariah, who was the Kohen Gadol, HaMevim Berot Elokim, who had the visions of God, made Darsho to Hashem, Hitzichot Elokim, and as when he asked God, Hashem gave him success. That sounds like they're Drosh Elokim. That sounds like Urim V'Tumim. My love, Urim V'Tumim, isn't that that we just said, Tumim. Lo, he says, no, that's Benevi'im. That was a Navi actually came. Shem sent a Navi. They didn't have that, I can ask and expect an answer. And Yerushalmi on that says similarly, that who are these Nevi'im Rishonim? Rabbi Bar Baruch Kahana B'Shem Rav says, Zeh Gad V'Natan. Those were the last of the Nevi'im Rishonim. The Nevi'im who were there at the time of David.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Now, the Gemara does continue to say that Urim V'Tumim would continue to be consulted throughout David by Rishon.
But it
Okay.
has to be the Kohen Gadol, right? Not just
Right.
Kohanim.
You have to be wearing the, well, you have to be wearing the
Right.
big kahuna. So
Yeah.
technically, the Sagan who went out, the Mashiach Milchama, could wear it as well. The guy who was out
Okay.
there at the battlefield as well.
But only one person.
At a time, right? It's not clear if you have more than one wearing it. Right, there's only one ephod and choshev. Rav Nachman Bar Yosef says, now in Man Nevi'im Rishonim, who are these Rishonim? That was talking about the Nevi'im of Bayit Rishon, Lafuke, Mechagai, Zachari, Malachi, not the Nevi'im of Bayit Sheni. The Acharonim, those are the last ones. In other words, he would put the stopping point for the Urim V'Tumim much later at the Churban. But that doesn't fit with the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah has Mishemetu Nevi'im Rishonim, and then Mishachara Beit HaMikdash. Right, clearly, those are implied different times. The
Yeah.
other thing is that the expression Nevi'im Rishonim in the Mishnah is used elsewhere, and it clearly refers to the time of David. It is a Mishnah
Okay.
Tanya. Nevi'im Rishonim Esrim Ve'arba Mishmarot. This idea of having a Mishmarot that everyone would have a turn in the Beit HaMikdash serving, both the Kohanim, Levi'im, and representatives of the Israelim. It would have these 12, 24 shifts. That was the set up by the Nevi'im Rishonim. Okay, and I'll call Mishmar and Mishmar in every one of these shifts. Hayamama b'Yerushalayim shel Kohanim shel Levim v'shel Yisraelim. Everyone would come into Yerushalayim serving the Beit HaMikdash. And who are these Nevi'im Rishonim? Rochar Bar Guria Amar Rav. Moshe Tikin Lehem Yisrael Shmona Mishmarot. Moshe set it up that they would have eight Mishmarot.
Shifts.
Shifts of people working in the Mikdash with Mishkan. Arba Me'elezer ve'arba Me'itamar. Two sons of Aaron. There were four from Elezer's side and four from Itamar's side. Shmuel came and set up at 16. Okay, so that's the Nevi'im Rishonim, Moshe, Shmuel, and David. So that's the idea that somehow we had the had this Urim Vatumim, but they stopped after the time of Shlomo.
Moshe, Shmuel, David, and Shlomo.
Well, okay, so they talk about the Mishmarot were set up by David,
Oh.
but the whole term Nevi'im Rishonim was clearly that point. It's not talking about all the Nevi'im of
Right.
by Rishon. That
Right.
period of Nevi'im Rishonim ended much earlier,
Okay.
right? The question, why is it stopped? They still had Nevi'im, right? Yeshaya, they're still playing Nevi'im, and the Shechina was still there in the Beit HaMikdash. It wasn't by its shading, it didn't have any Shechina. What happened to the Urim Vatumim? It seems the answer is what happened after David, Shmuel, and Shlomo.
Right. Well, it splits.
Right. And that we lost the unity of Bnei Israel with the split of Kingdom.
Ah.
That makes a point about what the Urim and Thummim were supposed to represent. And I think what's going on here is that you think about it, it's got Melech together with Mishpat, together with Kohen and the Ruach HaKodesh. All standing there together, right? That's the pieces that create the state apparatus of ancient Israel, right? This idea that you need all those four things together. That's Parshat Mishpatim. This is a quote from Yehuda Lewin Ashkenazi, known as Manitou, leader of Moroccan French Jewry, made Aliyah. Here, Panim, he enlightened us. He made the point that the four authorities that's described in Parshat Mishpatim stand for Mishkan. You've seen that
Melech.
idea? Melech, Shofet, Kohen, Navi.
Oh.
L'amdenu, she'at tenai l'hashkanat ha'shechina ba'am Yisrael. It tells that the condition for having the Shechina within the people of Israel, right? Have a real Mishkan. We need all four of these aspects working together.
The division of powers.
It was, yes. And that's everyone talks about that in terms of learning that. And it's always a problem when you lose that, right? You have the Kohanim becoming kings in the time of the Maccabim.
And when you take away the judiciary authority, like the
Yes.
king here wants to do.
You know, I feel that the judiciary has far too much authority, and so I still want to limit them, but I never express political opinions. But yes, you do definitely need a separation of powers. That is important.
Oh, that's what it's called, separation of powers, not division. Yeah,
Yeah, but
separation of
checks and
powers.
balances, okay? And so, Abba Shuot Elu Al Megaven Tapkidehem with their defined responsibilities. And a hefech. And the opposite is true as well. When these people have these public responsibilities, betray their roles, maybe a devar l'churban, everything is destroyed.
What's the word?
Kidre
Mo'alim?
like me'ila.
Is
I don't know
what?
if it's it's the term when you
It's
abuse.
bad.
Yeah, limomal b'Hashem. I always translate as betray.
Oh.
Yeah, but I've always did
There's
sagar
a
that way.
second word we're
I
using for
yeah.
betray.
Sagar means a little. Sagar means literally to imprison and hand over to someone else. Milah is to abuse is to, abuse the power to, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm on.
authority to
Yeah, well,
challenge
I
authority.
mean, me'il is when you steal from from Hektesh, from Beit HaMikdash directly. It's when you
Okay.
use your authority to your own career on personal benefit.
Okay.
What's the word I'm looking for there? Embezzle. Kind of like that. Okay.
Abuse their power.
Use their power. Right.
No, well,
Maybe I do
no. Anyway, okay, I
okay,
get
that's
it.
yeah, and maybe a derelict karbana ends up being instructive, as Yirmiyahu says, as the korban is facing them, Erev korban Beit HaMikdash, it says, Hakonim lomar amru Hashem, we lost the Kohanim, Tofsei Torah, which he says, lomar Shoftim, lo yaduni, don't know me, Vaharoim, and the shepherds, lomar Hamanhigim, the Malachim, right, the political leaders, Vanevim, Nibu Baal, and the prophets prophesied for Baal, Bachare, Lo Yo'ilu Halacha, they all went after that which will not help. So there's three aspects: Kohen, Tofsei Torah, Ro'im, and Nevi'im. Melech, Shofei, Kohen, Navi. That's Mishkan. You need that together. So this Mishkan only works if we have all of Bnei Yisrael together. They have to be united, right? This Choshen has all 12 tribes on it. Together. And that's the only way that Saron and Mishpat Ben Israel Aliba. It's got to be all together there. And once the kingdom was split, that was impossible. In a sense, this Urim V'Tumim as represented the tefillah, the prayer of the entire nation. Right? The king is basically K'moshim Mitpalel. They're facing La'aron there, and there Hashem says, okay, I'll answer you if we want Hashem to answer our prayers. We have to come from a place of unity, Bhakti Israel. Otherwise, Jim says we're not
Okay,
unified.
it holds together.
And then I'm going to stop there.
It holds together, and
Okay,
it's
good.
got a lot of interesting facts thrown in.
Right. It was a little bit.
It's
In order to
good.
get to the point, I had to do all introduction and then kind of conclude it in one paragraph at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going
But
to stop here.
then the tie-in, why does it end with Shlomo? Because that's when the unity ended, right?
Okay, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to turn off our.
And nobody will take a lesson for the current issue of no unity, but that's the big thing now. No unity.
I know. Okay, I have no. Any relationship to contemporary politics is purely coincidental.
Yeah.